awesome. I was out there tonight as well, or today, in Oakland. And I've been there several times, but I got to tell you, I was telling Lee earlier, I said, this was different. The openness to receive was just, to me, much, much different than before. Whenever I'm out there, you know, usually some will be ready to receive just the encouragement, the words of the Father's passion for them. And others, you know, they're taking it, but they're like, okay, whatever, just give me my food. And that's okay. That's okay. But this time, every single one was drinking it in, and, you know, many of them just weeping and or else beaming, depending on what their reaction was. But so way to go, Lee. I'm just super proud of you for I love to brag on Lee because he's a great guy, but also because this particular outreach, I know many of you have heard it, but it just started with one person saying, what can I do, and making a few sandwiches and going onto a street corner. And that was how he started. He just gave a few sandwiches away, prayed for a few people, kept doing it every Saturday. And now, a few years later, look how God's blessing that and the fruit that's pouring out of that. So what that means for all of us is it really doesn't take a lot. The gospel is so simple. It's so simple. We miss it. It's taking in the love that is so extravagantly abundant and available to you, receiving that from Jesus, from the Father, from the Spirit, and just giving it away. There you go. That's the kingdom. It's so simple. Well, I want to encourage you tonight. And here we go. So I want to talk about having a thankful heart. But this is very much by way of encouragement to each of you sitting here today. So before I go on, I want to ask that the Holy Spirit will do that. Okay? Because that's my goal tonight. It's for you to just be massively encouraged. So I'm asking, Holy Spirit, apart from you, words would have no transformation, but you have this amazing way of taking things and just changing our hearts. So would you do that tonight, God? I'm asking that you would just pour out massive encouragement, Holy Spirit, massive encouragement over every single person. Restore hope wherever the enemy has tried to steal it. God, you are much greater still, much greater still. So restore it all in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to start with a little bit of wisdom in this area about our hearts. And though that is a picture of Jesus, this wisdom comes from the Proverbs. Of course, Jesus is wisdom himself. But in Proverbs, it says, all of the days of the desponding afflicted, that means those that are depressed, are made evil by anxious thoughts and foreboding, that oh no, oh no, oh no. But the one who has a glad heart has a continual feast, regardless of the circumstances. A continual feast, feasting on the goodness of God. Now you look at Jesus there. I love that picture of him. You look at him, and of course he's looking it up. He's gazing on his Father. He knows who he is. He knows he's daddy's boy. He knows that. And so he's got this glad heart that he just gives away everywhere he goes, right? Well, think about this just for a moment. Mostly what we know about Jesus' life comes from the last 3 years, of course, his ministry, the last 3 years of his life. Well, think about it. In those 3 years, he was homeless. He said, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head, to rest his head. So he's homeless. He doesn't own his own home. He is without a job. I mean, he's the Savior of the world. But you know what I'm saying? He's just walking. He's trusting God wherever he goes. He doesn't have employment per se. He is hated by a lot of people who want him dead. Probably most of us don't experience that too often. Who are plotting against him all kinds of evil and things that are not true. One of his good friends and his cousin, John, was murdered brutally. and somewhat tied into, obviously very tied into what Jesus was doing. I'm just giving you a reality check. Sometimes we think about, well, of course, he was Jesus. He knew the Father. Remember his life? It wasn't an easy life, even before the cross. And yet, there you go. That's a picture of Jesus, the glad-hearted Jesus, who totally rose above the circumstances because of that connection with his Father. He knew he was loved. He knew it, he knew it, he knew it. And another bit of wisdom. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. So in these times that we are living, when you are constantly faced with news that is not real positive, we have some choices, don't we? We really do. We have a lot of choices. And scriptures even tell us to inherit the kingdom of God, you have to be like a little child. Well, there you go. A little child doesn't worry a whole lot. They don't think about a lot of things. They just enjoy life. And really, that's what the Lord's asking us to do. But of course, it's a matter of trust. Do we really trust that God is good? Do we really, really believe that he has our best at heart all the time? That's what's being tested. And if you can live as a child and say, well, of course, he's my daddy. He loves me. Then you're well on your way to, just like this little girl, to having a good time. Does that mean everything is honky-dory? You know, everything is going to work out just the way you want it to? Of course not. It's not what it means at all. It means that you're rising above because you're gazing at your Father who's gazing back at you. So I want to talk about how do we get that joyful heart? Well, I want to say, you know, here we come, Thanksgiving again. It's just a great time to remember that giving thanks is a huge key to setting you free. It's a huge key to you walking in that joy. So here's just a few scriptures. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. So there is this entering in that happens as we choose to thank God. Sometimes, and we all could do this at times, we get so wrapped up with all the things that are not going well, and we start rehearsing those things actually. And a way to break off of that, break away from that and into a different direction, up, is thanksgiving. I'll talk about it a little more again, but this is thanksgiving actually is just an entrance into worship. It really is. And here's another scripture, Colossians 2, 6 and 7. It says, so then, as you receive Jesus as Lord and Christ, now live your lives in him, be rooted in him, and built up on him, held firm by the faith that you have been taught, and overflowing with thanksgiving. Let me read a couple more. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Always be joyful, pray constantly, and for all things give thanks. This is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. For all things. I'm just telling you what it says. If you don't like that, you can take it up with God. I'm not even saying that God wanted all things that have happened to you to happen. I'm not saying that. But God says that in all things he's going to work for your good. There's an all things on his part. He says, I'm so big and so amazing and so for you that no matter what has happened, I will flip it all around for you. I'll do it. You don't always see it in the moment. You don't always see it right when you're going through the crisis, but it will come. This goes back to trust. Is he good? Is he for you? Does he do what he says he does? Absolutely he does, but that's something you have to come to that conclusion. But he's going to flip all things around for you. So this is why he says, this is why you can thank me for all things. Because they are going to work in your favor. They are going to work in your favor. Even the things that you would rather not go through. And some of you remember me sharing this before, but there was a time excuse me, in my life, time in our lives where Suzanne and I went through a real difficult stretch, a year or two. And there were just a lot of hurtful things that happened in a time that I wouldn't really have chosen to go through. I could tell you a couple things. One is that out of that tough time, out of the crushing comes the sweetness. And so the sweetness that you even feel in this room, the sweetness of the love of God, part of why that came about was out of the crushing. And I can also tell you that I came to a place, and I remember where I was. I was hiking up on a hill. I was actually chaperoning Aaron's, I think, you know, maybe it was Derek's class, sixth grade class. And I just remember, it was one of them, but I do remember being out there and talking with the Lord. And suddenly he spoke to me so clearly, and he said, "Brent, I want you to thank me for every single thing that you went through. Because if you had not gone through that, you would not be where you are." But because he told me, and because I received it from his spirit, I got it. In other words, it was so easy. I was just suddenly so thankful for everything that had happened. So I'm not saying in the midst of the hurt and the pain right away you're going to be ready to do that. I understand that. But I am saying eventually God wants us to bring us to the place where when we begin to see the bigger picture, we can go back and say, "Wow, God, thank you. I don't know how you did it, but you flipped it around in my favor again." And Philippians 4, 6, and 7, "Have no anxiety, but in everything make your requests known to God in prayer and petition with thanksgiving." See, that changes things. When you come to God and with a thankful heart, it will change how you pray. And then when you do that, the peace of God, which is beyond our utmost understanding, will keep guard over your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. Do you see how this works? Because if we don't come with a thankful heart, and our prayers can get really bitter. It can be vindictive. It can be, "God, we want justice and we want you to do it this way." It can border on that if we're not coming to him with a thankful heart. But the more we realize, "God, you're so good, you're so amazing, you're for me, you're a great father." And as we begin to pray, you know, with that in mind, then we don't have that bitterness. When we have that thanksgiving heart, we don't come with that bitterness. And then that releases him to actually do more, to bless more, to do the very things he wants to do, because our hearts are in agreement with his instead of being bitter. So some of the benefits of a thankful heart, it breaks the power of fear. It does. It does. It breaks the power of fear because our fear, again, is looking at future event. We're thinking of future bad things that's causing this anxiety and fear within us. But the more we come to God, the more we are thankful, it just doesn't give that place in our hearts to be afraid, because we know he's good. Because being thankful means that you're remembering his faithfulness. That's what it means. Because you're thankful for something that happened, whether it's a second ago or a year ago or whatever. But you're remembering his goodness. So it really does keep fear. It breaks the power of fear. Another one, thanking God fills you with hope. It put things in proper perspective. What it does is it places your problems where they should be, which is minuscule in the bigness of God. Whatever you focus on will become bigger. Whatever becomes your focus, you actually empower. You give power to. So if you're focused on the things in life that don't seem to be working out, on the things that are bringing you anxiety or fear, those things get bigger and bigger and bigger. They just do. But if you say, "You know what? In light of Jesus, in light of the Father, these things aren't even worth my consideration. They're really not." I know that this, you know, the economy and everything, I'm going to talk about this later, but I know the economy, you know, is affecting everybody in different ways. And people ask me, "How are you doing with it?" And my honest answer is it really doesn't affect me, because we're not of this world. We're of the kingdom. And God is looking for people who actually believe that, because we're the ones that are going to live differently, that have the answers of what this world needs. We're the ones that are going to break out of this with light. But it does require a people that actually believe him. And the Psalm 42 there just says, that's David saying, heart, why are you so anxious? Instead, I'm going to thank God. I'm going to worship you. So that's what that psalm is. And the last thing I just want to say about benefits is thanking God is worship, and it leads to greater intimacy. There have been many times when I'm at home and I worship the Lord just on my own, I actually prefer worshiping on the keyboard as opposed to guitar. And part of that is just because I get lost easier. I don't even have to a lot of times think. I just get lost. I don't even have to think about what chords I'm playing or whatever. And so I'm on the keyboard, and there are some mornings where let's just say this. I'm ready to worship. I'm ready to go. There are other times where I'm not so ready as far as how I feel, but I get on the keyboard anyway. And one of the things, if I start thanking God, it's amazing how quickly my heart softens. I can go from not really feeling God so much to weeping within minutes sometimes just by thanking him. Wow, God, thank you. And I thank him for specific things. I'm going to share some of those things in just a minute with you. But thanking God is worship. Because worship is declaring who God is. And by thanking him, you are declaring you are faithful, you are good. And one more scripture before I tell you about some things I'm thankful for. Hebrews 12:28. The kingdom that we are given is unshakable. Let me say that again, because this is something you need to remember right now. Well, the way the world is looking, you need to know this one. The kingdom of God, the kingdom that you are part of as sons and daughters of the King, is unshakable. God's not quaking in his boots right now going, oh crud, oh no. He says, sons and daughters, princes and princesses in my kingdom, know who you are. Let us therefore give thanks to God and so worship him as he would be worshipped with reverence and awe. Because he's the one. He's the one who's the king of his unshakable kingdom. He's the one who's invited us into that unshakable kingdom. And that is where you reside right now. I mention every once in a while about Kim Clement. He's a prophet, and he's one of my favorites, meaning of the various voices that are out there, this is a voice I just continually resonate with, because he offers so much hope, so much clarity, so much of God's heart, especially in the midst of uncertainty. That's what a prophet's supposed to do. It cuts through the garbage of what the enemy's trying to swirl around, and it says, remember. That's what the prophet's doing. He's saying, remember, remember who you are. Remember who God is. Don't lose sight of that. So this is a very long prophecy that I'm not going to read. I'm just going to read a little portion of this. You can get on kimclement.com, or you can get on Elijah List if you're interested in more of his words, or to read this in totality. I really am going to read just like maybe a third, a fourth of this. But I want you to get this. I want you to be encouraged today. He starts out by saying, how many believe that God has taken us to the other side? How many believe that America is going to make it to the other side? Now, he is South African, isn't he? I believe. And God has sent him to America, like as his major call in his life. To bless America, to help America remember who she is, God's place for her. So he says, how many believe America's going to make it to the other side? Know what's happening to you? You're getting some peace right now. He's talking to the people. This is actually a prophetic word he's giving. God's guiding this nation. God is guiding this nation to the other side. We're not going to do what the disciples did when the storm came. They fell to pieces. They said, Jesus, don't you care that we're perishing? How many of you know that that's a stinking lie? I want you in this, what they're calling a, what they're calling a crisis. While some people are screaming, crying in unbelief, I want you and the people watching by internet, we're going to lift our hands and voices and we're going to sing. See, he just goes against that spirit of confusion and everything else, the doom and gloom, and says, we're going to worship. Let's find out what happens when we worship God. America needs to understand the truth and stop listening to the facts. The Bible says the knowledge of the truth will set you free. What men do not seek for is the knowledge of the truth. What is the truth about America? What is God's word and God's plan for the economy? See, these are the questions that we ought to be considering. Thank God there are prophets that have prophesied what the outcome is going to be before the problem even came into existence. Years ago, I spoke about this fall, and I said what the people would say, even gave the news headlines, that this would be as severe as the Depression. But God said, no, I will not allow your economy to go to hell. Therefore, if that's the truth, why are we being driven by the facts? You say, Kim, this is crazy. The facts are the facts. But Jesus can change the facts. He can change the facts with the truth. I'm happy tonight because big things are ahead. America has qualities of unsinkability. People say, don't you understand we're going to sink because of all the sin? We may stay afloat because of those that are righteous. Maybe there's an apostle in the boat that's going to go down who has received a word from God of how survival is going to take place. We are marked by the ability to recover readily. History tells us that we are marked by the ability to return and get back to our original form to recover readily. There is a recovery that is about to take place in this nation. Let me tell you something. Political powers have no answer. There's only one leader. If America would understand that, and that the Lord Christ, and that is the Lord Christ who began this nation, I want you to know that it's going to steer us through the storm. Hallelujah. I want you to know something. We're going to go to the highest place we've ever been before. He uses this analogy I just skipped over about a Super Bowl. The harder you throw it, the harder the enemy pushes you down, the higher up you're going to go. He says, I want you to know something. We're going to the highest place we've ever been before because he threw us so hard, we're going way up high. The harder he throws us down, the livelier we spring back. You're springing back, and though it's hard to believe that God could possibly salvage the problems that we're facing now, we are about to enter into a place of victory. Again, remember, this was prophesied long before this time came. That's why it gives so much even more hope. In the next... Okay, I'm sorry. The Spirit of the Lord said to me, I don't want the people to pray as if they were in a crisis. We are about to enter into a place of victory. You see, in a crisis, he said, people begin to behave like heathens. You know, animalistic. If you are driven by fear, then you are blinded to the future. And the future that we've been dreaming about is about to appear. The things that we've been praying for are about to appear. So we are in a crisis. How many of you know that you can't stop a crisis, but you can steer a crisis? Christ stands in the midst of the crisis and steers it. Peace, be still. And immediately the storm subsides. In the middle of a crisis, they were begging God, do you care for us? Is this the judgment of God? Is this that? God doesn't want whining. He doesn't want begging. He doesn't want pleading. He doesn't even want repentance at this time. Let me just qualify this, because I know Kim Clement would never say repentance is bad. He's just stating, he's stating God's heart right now and saying, that's not what he's asking for right now. We've done lots of repenting. He wants his people to rise up as a prophetic generation and begin to command. Amen. Jesus never spoke to God on that boat and said, God, what are you doing? And Jesus never rebuked anything that God did. Therefore, that storm was not of God. He rebuked the storm. He steered it. And you're going to use what Christ wanted his disciples to use, the power to command. I'm going to share this more at a later time, but something's rising up in me. You know how we have revelation and then more revelation and more revelation on the same subject. He just takes us deeper and deeper. There's something about this speaking a word and causing it to come to pass. Like, what authority, Lord, have you really given us with this mouth and these vocal cords? We are still understanding. I know we've heard sermons on it. I know we've spoken about it here. I am coming to new places of understanding what this declaration thing is all about, that we actually have power to determine the future. I know we know that up here, but God, I'm praying right now for all of us, take it down here. Take us to the place where we really, really understand this and believe it. So that's going to be another topic for another night. 10 things I thank God for. I'll tell you why I did this, because I want to show you, there's so many things that we could be thankful for. We don't even think about them sometimes. So many blessings of the Lord. Plus, I just want to spur you on. I want to get your juices flowing, like, wow, I'm thankful too. So here we go. These are just for me, all right? 10 things I'm thankful for. Smelling a roasting turkey. Oh, you know, I remember waking up as a little kid. And, you know, Mom had already been roasting the turkey for hours. And, oh, that smell. Ooh, wow, wow, wow. I've actually prayed for a woman who had no sense of smell her whole life. And I prayed and the Lord gave it back to her instantly. But how many times do we just take that for granted, you know? Oh, yummy smells. All right, dark chocolate. Thank you, Jesus, for dark chocolate. You think I'm kidding, but I'm not. This is his idea. You understand that? Flavors, smells. This is... He did not have to give us that. We could have just gone... We didn't even have to eat, you know? He didn't have to come up with that. But then he wanted to even make it interesting. So I'm just going right for the heart of the matter and saying that... You know, pork... Those commercials being the other white meat. Well, dark chocolate is the other dark meat. So thank you, Jesus, for dark chocolate. This will get a little bit... Actually, these are all serious. Just some are fun. But the color purple. Thank you, God, for the color purple. I love purple. When I was a teenager, this is weird, but I wanted for my bedroom a purple crushed velvet... bedspread. And I got it. And that was a dark purple, and then I had light purple on my walls. I was a very secure young man, too. Think about this, though. Same thing with colors. Beautiful colors We, you know, God could have made us like a dog. We could have all seen in black and white. And we wouldn't even known we were missing anything. And for any of you who don't see in color, I declare that you will in Jesus' name. I declare for you to see in color in Jesus' name. All right, here's another one. Dusk. I love dusk. Thank you, Lord. I have thanked him so many times. I've been weeping on the road sometimes because I just love dusk. You know, after the sun's down and those beautiful colors that just come up. Again, of course, purple's in there and pinks and yellows and oranges. So if you put the last two together, here is the ideal dusk right there. Purple dusk. Like, I could sit here and look at this all day long. When we go up to Donner Lake, I There's times where it's looked just like this, looking over this, you know, over the water, over Donner Lake. And I do. I just sit there and watch it and sometimes weep, but just listen to worship music and just thank God for it. It's so amazing. Okay. Thank you, God, for encounters with exotic animals. Who is that guy? No, that's not Tom Selleck. That's me. I was going to be a veterinarian in life and went that whole route. That's a long story, but I actually worked at Marine World Africa USA and trained tiger cubs. And those are ferrets on the other side. A couple of they're so fun. Ferrets are so fun. Before that, even at UC Davis, I worked at Primate Center. I worked with all kinds of different monkeys, and I just had so much fun. And so I can go back and say, thank you, God, that even though He knew all along that that I'd eventually be shepherding people, pastoring people, He gave me a really fun journey along the way. And I got to experience and enjoy all kinds of animals. All right. The great cloud of witnesses. I'm telling you, I know this may sound weird, like we went from the color purple to the great cloud of witnesses, but I'm just telling you, I woke up yesterday and these things just boom, 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 boom. I just saw these things and that I was thankful for. I went down and wrote them all out and boom, here you go. But one of the things, as odd as it may sound, I'm just so grateful for the great cloud of witnesses. I really am. I'm thankful to God for it. Those that have gone before us to pave the way. Do you know there's so many things we enjoy and take for granted because somebody paid the price for it? Even worshiping the way we do right now. You know, just openness to the Holy Spirit. There's so many things that people died for. So that we just, you know, just get to experience. So I started thinking about some Paul, the Apostle Paul. I'm so grateful for him. And more and more as I go along on this journey, I used to think like, okay, Paul, he's this, I don't know, somebody who, you know, wrote part of the Bible. But he just seemed like this ancient historic figure. And now more and more I'm going, sometimes I just go, wow, Paul, that is so cool. Like I talked to him. I know this is going to sound weird because some of you are going, wait a minute. You can't talk to dead people. And I'll tell you, well, actually, he's alive. It's very important we don't worship dead people. But Hebrews chapter 11, you know, chapter, yeah, 11 and 12, talk about the great cloud of witnesses. So, if they aren't really here, then how do you explain that? How do you explain it? But I would just say Apostle Paul, John, I love, you know, the beloved. I love John. I'm going to meet him one day soon. Martin Luther, John Calvin. Thank you. Saints, all kinds of saints and mystics. Smith Wigglesworth, Catherine Coleman. How about move up a little further, John Wimber? There's just a whole lot of cool people. And some of you, you know, even some people that you might be missing because they have already left this flesh, you know. They're part of the great cloud of witnesses. And so I'm just really grateful for it. Here's another one. I'm really grateful for you. I thank God for you all the time. A whole bunch of Jesus lovers going after the presence together. I cannot tell you what a joy it is. You know what? This pastoring thing would be no fun at all if I didn't have a bunch of you to go after God with, you know? And so I am super grateful. Like Paul, I say every time I think of you, I thank God for your lives of free and open access to God given by Jesus. There's no end to what has happened in you. It's beyond speech, beyond knowledge. The evidence of Christ has been clearly verified in your lives. I brag on you guys all the time. I do. So, because you're amazing, because you get it, because one by one I just see another one get it, and another one, and another one. Oh, no, wait. Another one gets the kingdom. Okay. So. And another one's left. And another one's left. That's what it's like. I'm just watching one person after another get it. And you're all in different stages of getting it. And yet you're all growing up so fast. I just love it. And I thank God for you all the time. Here, I'm thankful for my boys, Derek and Aaron. Now, for those of you that don't know my boys, they are currently 16 and 13. That was when they were 4 and 1. So, and they've always been very, very loving boys. You know, I mean, obviously, it's not perfect relationships all the time, but you know what? They really, really love each other. And so I'm just so grateful for them. When I'm at my keyboard, that's usually where I start. I just start talking about, you know, my boys and just how amazing they are. I could go on and on, but I'm not going to. And then I also, of course, begin to thank God for my wife, Suzanne. Gorgeous. She's gorgeous. And I'm so grateful for her. Obviously, that's our wedding day. That was 22 and a half years ago. And she still looks, well, she looks better. She looks better. And the picture above actually was taken before we were married. The one below is really recent. So that's actually about 25 years between those two pictures, above and below. But I just thank God for her all the time, just that he gave me a partner in life that's going places with me. And we have so much fun. We really do. God is so good. So I'm just telling you my thank list. And the last one is God. I am thankful to God for himself. Thanks be to God who leads us wherever we are on Christ's triumphant way and makes our knowledge of him spread throughout the world like a lovely perfume. Thanks be to God. God, you're so good. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Of course, many of my worship times I just get into, you know, thanking Jesus for his willingness to go to the cross, that I was the joy set before him, as were you. There's so much to thank God for. And I am telling you, you cannot stay. You can't stay in a depressed, fearful, anxious state when you're thanking the Lord, when all these things begin to fill your hearts. And so whatever your lists are, I just wanted to share with you a few things quickly so you understand how easy this is. It just requires actually a little bit of thought. It actually requires a little bit of intentionality to thank him. But he's so worth it because whatever your list is, he did it for you. Whatever the things are that, like mine is purple or chocolate, whatever yours are, he knows that. He made you that way. And that's why there's certain things he little kisses from heaven all the time just to say, I'm thinking about you. I did this for you. I made this just for you to enjoy. And he loves enjoying it with us. He really does. Whatever it is that he's doing. I shared this with the class a few nights ago, but because somebody was asking, well, what about why do we intercede? You know, if God's, you know, can do what he can do and all this. And I said, well, it's like when I'm with my boys and I taught them to ride a bike. And it was so much fun watching them get it and watching them be so excited and running alongside of them and, you know, and making sure they're okay. And then when they start circling around, you know, wahoo! Guess what? I could ride a bike. I could have done it for them. Wouldn't that be fun? No, it wouldn't be near as much fun. And so God, he wants to get us involved, and he blesses us, and he's a father that runs alongside of us and says, you're doing so good. You're doing so good. So I want to encourage you, because this, honestly, this is going to build you up. It's going to lift you up the more we can have this thankful heart. And I want to leave you with this last scripture, 1 Corinthians 15:57. Thank you, God, for giving us the victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We have the victory. So I'll say this again. I said this before, but I want to say it one more time in case you didn't hear it. That if you were playing a game in sports and you knew what the outcome was going to be, that you would win, it wouldn't matter what the score is at any point in the game, would it? You have won, you have won, you have won. You're already victorious in Christ. It's already done. Now, yeah, we're still playing it out, but it doesn't matter what the score is. It doesn't matter what it looks like day to day, because the reality is you've already won. You've already won. There's nothing the enemy can do to change that. Nothing. All he can do is make your life miserable if he can feed you some lies and get you worried and afraid and disturbed and all the rest. That's all he can do, is basically mess with you to make you ineffective at sharing the joy of Christ. But you've already won. If you're in Christ, those who have said yes to Jesus, yes, Jesus, you did it all for me, you're my Savior, you've already won. You're with him. You're with him right now, actually. He's with you. He's soaking you in. Isn't that right? This is what I want you to do. I think it's really important that I want to help you actually just do this for a moment, okay? And what I want to ask, if Carla, if you come on back up, and Pierre, are you still here? Pierre. Oh, would you come on back up? We're going to do a song. We're going to worship. We're going to sing a song, So Good to Me. So good to me. As I said before, this is the battle. This is the battle in our minds. Is God good or isn't he? He's astoundingly good, but that's the battle in our minds. And what I want you to do as we're singing this song, I'm going to ask you to stand. Actually, why don't you do that right now? Go ahead and stand. Plus, that way you get a stretch break too. And what I want you to do, I want you to sing this song, but as God brings things to your mind, remembrances of things that you're thankful for, just speak them out. You know what I mean? Just speak them out as you're worshiping. Just stop singing the lyrics for a minute and just start thanking him at various times when he brings things to your mind. I wanted to think of a way where we could actually do this. And if we had no sound going, people might feel self-conscious. I'm just saying, let's just fill the air with worship. But as we're doing this, would you actually just take time to thank him for some things? And then we'll spend. After that, we're going to take time to pray for those who want that.
So good.
Thank you, God. thank you, thank you, thank you. I just felt like right there, God was saying for some of you, that was just a major breakthrough. It's like it gets us unclogged, you know? It really does, just to thank Him. God, you're good, you're good, you're good, you're good. You are good, God. You are faithful. You are so astoundingly kind and merciful to us, God. Wow, wow, wow. There's no one like you. No one like you. Thank you, God. Thank you, thank you. Wow. Thank you, Lord. And for I just want to declare over all of you that you are overcomers. You are victorious in Christ. Don't listen to any other lie, because that's all it is. It's just a lie. You're already in Him. He's already won. It's the way it is. You're loved, you're wanted, you're cherished, you're adored. That makes you incredibly blessed and highly favored all of the time. Those that know the Lord are the most blessed of all people. There's just no two ways about it. And here's one more thing. You, each one of you, you're absolutely Daddy's favorite. Each one of you is Daddy's favorite. But here's the catch. You actually have to believe that to enjoy it. You have to believe it to enjoy it, even though it's true. I'm just telling you the truth. So I declare these things over you. And even because I want to leave you encouraged, even if during this message there was any way in which the enemy tried to lie, you know, and bring discouragement, I have the authority to break that off in Jesus' name, that there be no discouragement over you. Even as I was showing the slides, if some of you were thinking, oh gosh, my life hasn't turned out this way or that way, garbage. That's from the enemy. Your life is in God's hands. He has you where He wants you. He has every intention to bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you, no matter what has taken place up to this point. All right? So that is the honest, honest truth that sets you free. Tonight, I want to ask, just because there was so much love flowing out there in Oakland, I want to ask if the team, everyone who's there from Oakland, would you be willing to come up and be our prayer? Just pray for people tonight. There should be, gosh, at least 20 of you or something. Just thanks. And for the rest of you, you gonna pray some? You can pray some? Okay, Carla's going to worship a little bit. So for the rest of you, if you'd like to just stay and soak in the goodness of God, please do so. If you want to come up for prayer, please do so. But I will ask this, in light of what I just said about the truth setting you free and about not speaking the lies, when you come up for prayer, don't rehearse a bunch of the old stuff. Just tell them as little as they need to know to start blessing you. All right? So if you need prayer for healing or for anything, come on up. And please go in the peace and the grace of God and keep thanking Him. All right? Bless you. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you.